So you might say the former eye doctor giveth, the former eye doctor taketh away. That's Bashar Assad, the son of Hafez al-Assad, Ba'athist leader of Syria. He is a former eye doctor, but he's got his hands full these days with political unrest going on for weeks inside Syria.
One might say he's seeing more than he wants to.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Can't go there, but maybe Owen Bennett-Jones will, of our partner, the BBC. Let's get a quick update on what's going on in Syria. The Syrian government did away with 50 years of emergency rule yesterday, and there's been an arrest of a human rights political opposition leader inside Syria. Joining us from Beirut is the BBC's Owen Bennett-Jones. First of all, Owen Bennett-Jones, what's the update in Syria this morning on this emergency law?
Well, we think the emergency law is going to be lifted formally today. The president apparently has to sign off on that before it actually comes into force. And then, of course, the question is what will be replacing it? And that is an open question at the moment. We don't really know. But presumably there will be either other existing legislation or new legislation which will allow the authorities to keep some sort of control over society.
Now, you've said many times that people have not far from their minds on the streets of Syria the massacre of the people in Hama in 1982. In any sense, does the lifting of the emergency law reduce that concern of the government cracking down?
We're now into a period where people are trying to assess what the government is doing, what it means to do, whether Bashar al-Assad is genuinely liberalizing or whether this is just an attempt to buy people off and to buy him time so that he can reassert control later. And I think we'll probably find out on Friday when prayers happen on Friday, because people do gather on that day and it has become the day of protest. And maybe fewer people will come out. Maybe he will have assuaged public opinion to some extent. Maybe more people will come out. And then if people do come out, the question is how the authorities respond.
Political language written in the feet of protesters who show up on this Friday. Owen Bennett-Jones setting up for what may be a very big story in Syria later on this week. The BBC's Owen Bennett-Jones joined us with an update from Syria, from Beirut, Lebanon, where he's watching the situation there. He suggests that people in Syria are trying to figure out if Bashar Assad is a reformer or not. You might say American policymakers are doing the same. Here's Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, speaking at the end of last month.
There is a different leader in Syria now. Many of the members of Congress of both parties who have gone to Syria in recent months have said they believe he's a reformer. What's been happening there the last few weeks is deeply concerning. But there's a difference between calling out aircraft and indiscriminately strafing and bombing your own cities than police actions, which frankly have exceeded the use of force that any of us would want to see.
Concerning, says Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, distinguishing between the leader of Syria and the leader of Libya, Muammar Gaddafi. Joshua Landis joins us, as he has often done, to talk about Syria. He's the director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma, also the writer of the blog Syria Comment. Joshua Landis, what do you make of what Hillary Clinton has said there? Some have described Bashar Assad as a reformer. Even Owen Bennett-Jones says the people of Syria are trying to figure out if that's what's going on here with the lifting of the 50-year-old emergency law.
Well, it's very hard to define reformer, but this is war now. We've entered a new phase, and the president has defined. he's in a sense, in his speech last week, he said he'd made some concessions. And now he's going to, in a sense, he drew a line in the sand, and he said, from now on, it's going to be a rebellion. I'm defining this as a rebellion. And he is going to put this down, and that could get violent if more people come out on Friday. And he's trying to stop this, and the regime will hang on. This is not Egypt. The military has stayed loyal to the regime. This will be more like Iraq. I mean, it's going to be civil war or the uprising is going to stop, and that's essentially what he's said to the nation. So people are going to have to figure out whether they want war against the regime and potentially Syria to fall apart along sectarian lines, or whether they are going to live under an authoritarian regime.
You know, Joshua Landis, you say that Syria is not Egypt, but is there perhaps some parallels with Libya, that this is perhaps the way the protests began there, until people began to say, look, these are not opposition protests in Libya. This is a civil war.
Well, the comparison would be Lebanon in 1975, when the military split, and in Lebanon, the Christian officers and soldiers went to the north, grabbed as many arms as they could, the Muslims to the south, and it was civil war for 15 years. In Syria, if that happened, it would be the Alawite officer corps that runs the army, security people, who are trying to lead this. Now, it could be that the military, the conscripts of which are mostly not Alawite, but many of them are, but that the military would split and dissolve. And then you would have a situation where you don't have an army, and you could have civil war like you had in Iraq, except for the difference would be that in Iraq you had the American army, which was theoretically keeping order there and responsible for keeping the country together, whereas in Syria you wouldn't have. And I think Hillary Clinton is very anxious, and Americans are extremely anxious about this kind of situation. And if there is increasing violence, of course, there's going to be incredible world pressure for them to step in and do something.
Well, forget the world pressure. What about the regional pressure? Iran is an ally of Syria, at least on other matters.
Well, the regional pressure will be the opposite. I think the regional pressure will be that they don't want Syria to fall apart and turn into Iraq. And people will be quiet and, in a sense, they'll let Assad do what he's going to do. Now, America is going to be the one who's going to be pressured to stop him against the wishes of people like Saudi Arabia, possibly Turkey, maybe even Israel, who all don't want to have a civil war at their borders.
And Israel, in a sense, might be in the position of wanting the status quo.
Yes, they probably would.
And the U.S. would support them in that.
I think this is what Hillary Clinton is trying to stay away from, the swinging door, where America's human rights and democracy ideology gets, 180 degrees difference from its sort of national interests, and from not wanting, as Gates said about Libya, he was almost ready to resign if they got sucked into Libya, but they did, but at least he could contain it. But in Syria, it would be a different matter. It's 22 million people. It's a big country. There's lots of different sects and ethnic groups.
Joshua Landis, you said the swinging door of the Middle East policy, but maybe it's more like whirling blades for Hillary Clinton.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, they're not laughing in Syria on the streets this
morning.
I didn't mean to think that you were suggesting there's anything funny about the situation in Syria. Josh Landis, thanks so much.
Very good.
Joshua Landis is director of the Center for Middle East Studies at the University of Oklahoma. He writes the blog Syria Comment, watching the situation in Syria. Owen Bennett-Jones, our partner from the BBC, observing the situation in Lebanon, says we'll know more on Friday during Friday prayers. Thanks so much, Josh.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.